Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. This morning, the Lord has directed me from the whole sermon that I was going to preach to just one point in that sermon. As you may be aware, I started a series on David a few weeks ago, and I started with David the shepherd, and now we're going to be discussing David the servant. I have several points under that sermon, but point number two is the only point that I'll be preaching this morning. The Lord has directed that. So the title of my sermon this morning, really, point number two, is the uncertainty of being a servant. The uncertainty of being a servant. Long before we ever knew anything like this was going to take place, I had this point already in place. But God, through His infinite wisdom, has guided every step of the way. And so we're going to read a passage of Scripture, and I think you understand why we read it after we get started. 1 Samuel verse 18, chapter 18, verse 6. And it came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, "Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but 1,000? And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other time. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. And look at verse 21. And Saul said, "I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Wherefore Saul said to David, "Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain." These two passages of Scripture show David being a servant. And to forego my first point, but to give you some background, can you imagine the joy of being David and getting invited to be one of the top servants to the king? No more laying in a pasture field, he gets to sleep in the palace. You know, I got to be honest with you, I'd much rather stay in the Hampton Inn than the Red Roof Inn. I'd much rather stay in a fancy hotel than a roach motel somewhere down the road, right? Now, some of us have had this. You know, when I was younger, any hotel, it didn't matter. If it had cable TV, it was a plus. And so it could be a bad hotel. But once you stay in a nicer hotel, do you realize how hard it is to go back and stay in one of those not-so-nice hotels? Can you imagine David? David is used to being a shepherd, sleeping amongst sheep, leaning against a tree. That was his bed. Maybe having to get up early to go out and take care of sheep. Being the youngest boy in the house of his dad, which was a poor man, to being able to live in the palace. He may not be the king at the time, but he got to stand in the king's throne room and play a harp. All the gold glistened for him just like it glistened for Saul. All the beautiful music that was played, he got to hear too. The meals that Saul ate, most likely David got to partake in some as well. Even the servants' food had to be better than a bologna sandwich on the side of a hillside. What I'm trying to tell you, there's great joy in being a servant, But there's great uncertainty in being a servant of God too. Now, in no way am I saying that God is a picture of Saul or Saul a picture of God. No way. But I am saying David is a picture of us. Saul would be representative of the world system. You and I are servants of the Lord in this world. And even as we serve the King of Kings, you and I face uncertainty. There's certain things that are uncertain while you are a servant of the King. And that's basically what we want to focus on this morning. We are living in uncertain days. I can't give you the answer to 9/11. I can't give you the answer to why Amanda and I had to bury two stillborn boys. I can't explain to you why people get mad and leave church over petty little things. I don't know why teens and little children have to watch their parents split up and go through a divorce. There are a lot of things that confuse me. I'm not certain what is going on with this thing called the coronavirus. It certainly is unique. And this is certainly a unique time in modern day history. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that has ever lived in a day like we're living in literally today. There has never been a pandemic like there has been now. Oh, there's been threats. There have been scary things. There have been world wars. But this is not just shut down little things. This is shut down practically everything. You know you're in trouble when Walmart stops going 24 hours, right? Hey, listen, we're living in uncertain times. And I'm not certain what's going on. We've had dark days before, but this is unprecedented. So what's going on? The scientists and the doctors and the government are asking us to be concerned with a virus that none of us can see. And I appreciate their diligence in giving us the ability to avoid contracting this disease or this virus. But most importantly than believing in the virus that we can't see, we need to turn to a God that we can't see. America needs to turn to an unseen hand. What do we do, Pastor? Let me inform you of what we're going to do. And this is my advice. We're going to choose not to be afraid. When you're in uncertain times and you're serving the King of Kings in uncertainty and uncertain times, I want you to know that you can choose not to be afraid. I cannot tell you not to be afraid, but I can remind you that you have been given the opportunity and the right and the permission by God not to be afraid. Be wise. We are to sanitize our church like never before. We're to provide you the opportunity to keep your hands clean. We're going to forego the handshaking part of the service, and instead we're going to implement a season of prayer. We're going to pray for our country. We're going to pray for our leaders. We're going to pray for each other, that God would show favor and protect us and send revival throughout the land. So I'm going to choose to not be afraid. I'm going to choose to be wise, and I'm going to choose to be harmless. The Bible says, be ye wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And so I'm going to be harmless. If you have an immune system that is compromised, then be wise. If you're at the age of sickness that could cause you great harm, if you're at the age where this sickness could cause you great harm, then I ask you to be wise. Take care of your health. If you need to stay home and out of the public congregational groups, then do that. Be harmless. If you need to wear a mask, they're saying not to, but if you need to wear a mask, wear one. If you need to wear gloves, wear them. If you need your temperature checked, check it. If you feel sick, stay home. It's okay. It's one of the reasons we live stream our services. Be wise. Be harmless. If you have to stay home because of a compromised immune system, then I gave you the instructions that I believe that would help us not get depressed after it's all said and done. What are we going to do here at Victory Baptist Church in this uncertain time? we're going to do our best to update our webpage with our prayer list to keep people up to date on Facebook and live streaming. We are still going to have church. We're going to open our doors as long as we're legally allowed to do so. We'll not close our doors. But we ask you to be wise. We'll have church at regular time as long as the government lets us. If there was a law that said only a certain amount of people could congregate, then we'll make that plan. We'll have a plan set forth to address that. Thankfully, that hasn't happened. But we'll still have a plan in place. Traveling, mission trips, ladies' prayer advance, these things will be taken care of wisely. And please understand, everyone has an opinion of what I should do. Everyone has an opinion. But only one of us have been given the burden to make the decision. Only one of us has to stand before God about the decisions that are made. So as I value your opinion, and I do, please understand if I don't heed to your opinion, it's not because I don't value your opinion. It's because in prayer I've asked God and God has led me in a different direction. But please understand, I'd ask that you pray for me that God gives me wisdom because, like I said, I don't have any history to go back to. I've called pastors. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I already knew what I was going to do, but I wanted to hear what they were going to do. A lot of churches are doing what I'm doing. Some churches are closing their doors. I find no need in that. If you can keep your head when all else are losing theirs. There's great wisdom in that poll. Go home and read it. Go home and read it. But I truly believe that when we live in uncertain times, we have to be wise. David was wise. When Saul threw the javelin at him, guess what David did? He moved. If he was a totally submitted servant, he would have stayed there. No, he was wise. Javelin coming at my head. I might move. That's a good move, David. And he left. Not once, twice. So David was wise in how he handled the king. David was harmless how he handled the king. Every time he got a chance to brag about the king, he bragged about the king. Every time we get a chance to obey our government, we need to obey our government. Did you hear me? Every time we get a chance. If they come along and say things that we can't hold to scripturally, I can't obey them anymore. But when I can obey them, I will. Or I should. Handle them wisely. Handle the circumstance wisely. Handle it harmlessly. Trust the Lord. Choose not to be afraid. You know, there are many people that are stockpiling different things. So I started thinking about that. I find it interesting what is being stockpiled. I see God's hand. I'm not saying God sent this virus. I am saying that God allowed this virus. I'm not saying God sent this virus. But as I step back and I look at everything, look what he did. He shut down sports. And he's saying, hey, you that worship the God of sports, you can't shut me down. But a common virus can shut down a... It's the first time in my life that there's no sports being played today. Think about that. This has shut down the God of sports. This has shut down the God of finances. Most of you don't even want to look at your stocks right now. No news is good. Out of sight, out of mind. He shut down the God of finances. He shut down the God of health. He shut down the God of Hollywood, in a sense. Broadway shut down for the first time. Shut down. movie theaters being shut down. And I look at this and I said, the God of sports, the God of finances, the God of health, and the God of entertainment have had to bend their knees to the God of gods, who will not be shut down. Now you think about this. But you think about what's being stockpiled. Bread. I don't know if you can eat that much bread. Bread represents the necessity of life. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says he's the living bread? People are stockpiling physical bread, and he's over here saying, I'm the living bread. Water. Bottles. I'm assuming that they're thinking Fairmont's shutting down the water system sooner or later. I didn't know this, but thankfully I have a river right down my house. If I have to go down there, I can send my kids with a pail of water. But we can boil it or something, I suppose. But they're buying water off the shelves. You can go. They're shutting down Walmart at, what, midnight or 11 o'clock because they can't keep it stockpiled. Wow. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is the living water? People are needing physical water, and Jesus over here saying, I can give you a water that you'll never thirst again. Toilet paper. How are you going to spiritualize toilet paper, preacher? I did. My friend, if you need 90 rolls of toilet paper for 2 weeks, you need to go to a gastrologist. So I suppose if people are stockpiling toilet paper, people are afraid to be caught unclean. Well, maybe we should be thinking about the Lord's return, and maybe we should be afraid to be caught unclean. What if all of what's going on is leading up to the rapture? I cannot set dates. I do not know when the Lord's coming back. I will tell you, I've never set a date, but I will tell you, when my dad died about 4 years ago, I made a statement because of evidently the world was in such an array then that I was looking at things through my eye, through spiritual eyes, and I said, man, I would be shocked if the Lord doesn't return in the next 5 years. That was 4 years ago. I'm not saying the Lord's coming back in the next year. I can't say that. No man knows. And please don't understand. I may die at the age of 99 and the Lord still not had to return and rapture the church. I understand that. But I can sit here and look through eschatological eyes. That means the study of last days. I can look through the last days. I can read Revelation and Daniel, and I can look at this and I can say, wow. I see things lining up exactly the way Jesus said they were going to line up. And I'm like, never saw it lined up this way. One world government. One world financial system. One world health system. One world religion. It's interesting. Friend, I want you to know that this is a very interesting time to live in. And so I look at things and I think of things a little bit differently. Some of you probably get Facebook and you read what I read the other day or wrote yesterday. I wrote this yesterday. And so I'll just read it. Billions of people are asked to believe in an unseen virus that could cause them great harm. How do we know it's real? As far as I know, nobody in here has experienced it. Well, how do we know it's real? Well, let's go over the list of how we know it's real. Number one, some scientists say that they've seen the virus under a microscope. I don't know these doctors, but they say they've seen it. Some people have gotten sick that say they have coronavirus. I've never met anybody yet But they say that's true. Some people will say that the way this government in the world is reacting to the coronavirus makes it real. Well, I'm asking billions of people to believe in an unseen God that wants to give you great joy. Billions of people are asked to believe in an unseen virus that could cause them great harm. I'm asking you to believe in a God that wants to give you great joy. How do we know he's real? Some people have seen him under the microscope of Scripture and in his handiwork of creation. Some people have gotten saved and they have a different life because of the God of the Bible, and it shows. My final question would be, are people saying that they believe in God because of the way we are acting and how the church is responding to the commands of Scripture? We believe in the coronavirus really because of the way the government's acting. We are afraid of the coronavirus because of the way the government's acting. But none of us have ever seen the coronavirus or even experienced the coronavirus or even know somebody that has the coronavirus. But yet here we are lined up 3 miles long to get into a store to buy bread. If the world can believe in an unseen virus, well, my friend, I want you to know you better believe in an unseen God. This is real. I don't know about the virus, but I know about Jesus. And I have personally witnessed him in my life. If I were to bring up here in the next month somebody that had the coronavirus and I were to have them give testimony, you would sit there and say, whew, they did have the coronavirus. Boy, I'm glad I didn't get it. Well, I'm standing up here and telling you I've gotten Jesus. And I hope you do want it. The world has gone nuts. But I'm telling you, eternity is going to be a lot crazier for those people that don't know Jesus. So my encouragement to people is trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Do you know Christ this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I'm sure David was 1 minute in favor with Saul, and the next minute he was being run off. I'm sure Saul confused David. The wonderful thing is that our God knows what's going on. We may not know, but he knows. We may be confused, but he never is confused. And as a servant, we don't quite understand when we're uncertain about what to do. We just learn to lean on Jesus. And if we do that, we become stronger through our not understanding, yet still believing. We become wiser in our trusting of the Lord. We become more trusting in his leading. The uncertainties will come. Jobs, family, health, all of these things are seemingly on shifting sand, but he never changes. And as I've heard many a time said, if we can't see his hand, we can trust his heart. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never let us down. He realizes that this life and all of its struggles are but for a moment in the book of eternity. He will see us through. I know that many of you in here this morning are uncertain. Well, if you're going to be uncertain, then be uncertain, be an uncertain servant. Don't stop serving. Don't stop trusting. Unlike David's king, King Saul, our king, King Jesus, is out for our good and loves us unconditionally. You can be certain of that. Sometimes it gets difficult to keep our eyes on Jesus, but we need to. The storm of life you're going through, let the master take the helm, and we trust the master of the ship, who is also the master of the sea. I can also understand that being a servant can be uncertain. But an uncertain servant, then I will be. I'm trusting to an unseen hand that's guiding me. Is he guiding you? I'm here to tell you, friend, you have nothing to worry about. Jesus has got this. A friend of mine, and I'm done, a friend of mine said, he called me yesterday morning from Tennessee, a wise man, really. He said, Nathan, he said, call me Brother Nate. He said, Brother Nate, he goes, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this not going to church thing. I said, well, tell me what you think, Brother Terry. He said, you know, there are people all over the world that went to church this morning wondering if they would even make it out of the service alive. Because they went to church under the guise that if they get caught, they're dead. Russia, China, North Korea. And if I can ask a believer overseas to trust the Lord, if they don't know that they're going to make it out of the service alive, I think that I could probably go to church and risk getting the coronavirus in 2 weeks from now. I thought, that's perspective. We're not promised tomorrow anyway. I'm not saying be unwise. I'm not. You know where I stand. I've given you our policy. I've given you our procedures. I've told you what we're doing. I think that the horse is prepared against the day of battle. I think we need to be prepared, but I also think that we need to trust the Lord. And I thought, wow, that's perspective. This morning, some people are worried, well, if I go to church, I might get a sickness that hasn't even been confirmed in our state. And yet there are people that got up this morning, took their children to church that has a greater chance of being killed for going to church than from anything else. See, friends, maybe that shows us that Christians in America are really very weak Christians compared to Christians around the world. Again, I am not saying that we do not do our due diligence. I am not saying that you stay away if you need to stay away or stay home if you're sick. I am not. I am telling you and me that we better reevaluate where we stand with Christ. And maybe we're not nearly as godly as we thought we were. Something to think about.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.